Heavenly Father, we do thank and praise you for your faithfulness. We bring you our praise today that you're a God of love, a God of covenant, a God who has first loved us. And Lord, we today, during this time of a baptism, time of communion, we want to express our love for you. So Lord, we thank you for all you've done in our lives, for the way in which you have led us from our mother's arms to this point. So Lord, we pray that you would touch our hearts and lives. Make us new, we pray. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, for your presence with us this day and always. We thank you that there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Hallelujah. Amen. Right. Okay. Good morning, everyone. I just realized I'm just going to have to make sure I don't wander too far actually this morning. So I don't want to have an early baptism, an extra baptism, but there we are. Right. So over to Obed. I think he's going to read us our first reading this morning. Okay. Thanks, Obed.
Our first reading this morning is from Book of Acts, chapter 10, starting from verse 34. Peter's speech. Peter began to speak, "I now realize that it is true that God treats everyone on the same basis. Whoever worships him and does what is right is acceptable to him, no matter what race he belongs to. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, proclaiming the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know of the great event that took place throughout the land of Israel, beginning in Galilee after John preached this message of baptism. You know about Jesus of Nazareth and how God poured out on him the Holy Spirit and power. He went everywhere doing good and healing all who are under the power of devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses of everything that he did in the land of Israel and in Jerusalem. Then they put him to death by nailing him to a cross, but God raised him from the dead 3 days later and caused him to appear, not to everyone, but only to the witness that God had already chosen, that is to us who ate and drank with him after he rose from death. And he commanded us to preach the gospel to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God has appointed judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets spoke about him, saying that everyone who believes in him will have his sins forgiven through the power of his name. While Peter was still speaking, the Holy Spirit came down on all those who were listening to his message. The Jewish believers who had come from Joppa with Peter were amazed that God has poured out his gift of Holy Spirit on the Gentiles also. But they heard them speaking in strange tongues and praising God's greatness. Peter spoke up, "These people have received the Holy Spirit just as we also did. Can anyone then stop them from being baptized with water?" So he ordered them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to stay with them for a few days. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Obed. We all have favorites, don't we, in all sorts of things? Anybody got a favorite time of year, for example? Favorite season or time of year? Any offers? Spring? Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think I'm probably there with you, actually. Yeah, probably my favorite season. Yeah. Every day. A good answer. Thank you, Pauline. Yes, that's right. Nice one. Each day is a bonus. Absolutely. That's the... Anyway, any other offers? Anybody particularly like winter, for example? Okay, yes. Sorry, yes. Oh, okay, well, I'm standing in the wrong spot, am I? Yeah, that's all right. Okay. I'll come and stand over here. Getting too close, that's it. Right, excellent. You know, Chris likes the cold at the moment, so that's it. Is. Okay, but having favourite people can actually be a bit tricky, can't it, actually? My brother-in-law sometimes says to me, "You're my favourite brother-in-law, you are." I'm not sure whether actually he says the same thing to my other brother-in-law. I don't know, but anyway. So, but the good news is, from our story this morning, from Acts 10, is that God doesn't have favourites. God does not have favourites. God showed forgiveness and gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to Cornelius, of all people. Now, Cornelius was a Roman centurion. He didn't belong to the Jewish people. He wasn't a member of the Jewish family of faith. But God forgave him. God poured out his Holy Spirit upon him. But you see, for somebody like Peter, Cornelius should have been at the back of the queue. He shouldn't have really been even in the reckoning. Because actually, you think about it, that he was not only a soldier, a Roman soldier, who was occupying the land of Israel at the time, but actually many of Peter's friends and family and others, many of the Jews at the time, would know family members and friends who'd been treated badly by Roman soldiers, by the Roman authorities. They would have all sorts of stories about how terrible the Roman occupation was. So Peter would not have expected Cornelius to be shown favour by God quite in such a way. But what about us? What about us? Where would Britain be if God had favourites? Where would Britain be if God had favourites? See, thinking about when Acts 10 was written, Paul didn't have Britain on his radar when it comes to his missionary journeys. He wasn't thinking about going to Britain. He was thinking about going to Spain, but Britain was the back of beyond. It was literally the backside of Europe, of course, at that time. Britain was about as far away from the Holy Land and from God's holy temple as you could possibly get in Europe. Okay, so we were back of beyond. And don't forget as well, the Romans saw us as barbarians, as savages. They thought of Britons as a savage people, uncivilized. Now, since then, of course, Britain has had its own empire, and sadly, we have, in our turn, treated other people in distant lands as savages and barbarians. That's sadly true. But we forget this part of our story, that actually at one point we were seen as barbarians and savages. We were seen as, if you like, at the back of the queue when it comes to God's favour. But thanks be to God, our Lord doesn't show favouritism. God wants everyone, everywhere, to know him, to know his favour. The forgiveness and the new life available and offered to us in Jesus is offered equally to all. And that's one of the things we'll be celebrating as we baptize Shirley later on. Thanks be to God. Okay, right. Yes, I'm going to ask Shirley now to come forward. It's a bit what we've been waiting for, looking forward to. So if you'd like to perhaps share your testimony now, if that's possible. Yeah. How you come to this point, basically, and how God has led you to be baptized here.
I'm a bit nervous, so excuse me. I haven't been this nervous since my wedding day. I just wanted to thank everyone, first of all. We'll say hi, everyone. Nice to see you all again. And thank you for all your support for when Alan was in hospital. I really appreciate your prayers and support. Thank you. So I've written my testimony down. I did put a timer on to try and not go just to see that it doesn't take too long. But I was born in Uganda, which is in East Africa, one of many children in a very large polygamous family. You can Google that if you don't know what that is. growing up, all my older sisters were Christians. My two older sisters had the responsibility of taking us younger children to church. So we went to a Baptist church because they'd been baptized. And so they took us to a Baptist church. Though as a family, when we had family occasions like weddings and christenings, we'd go to an Anglican church. I later found out that my eldest sister had given her life to Christ when she was 14 years old and went about evangelizing my whole family. She successfully led one of my older sisters, actually two of my older sisters, to Christ and myself. And in our culture, the older children are very involved in the care of the younger children. So as greatly influenced by my older sisters, they taught me how to pray and told me stories about Jesus. We also had the Bible stories as separate books with pictures in them in our home library. We were not allowed to watch TV, so I read a lot as a child. Because of my sister's influence and reading the Bible stories, I feel like I have always known about God and that Jesus died for my sins, though I never truly grasped the meaning of this. As time went on, I remember responding to a lot of altar calls, and this was mainly in Pentecostal churches. You know, they'd say, you know, after, you know, giving a sermon, would anyone like to give their life to Christ? I'd go there and several times and give my life to Christ. I don't remember a single day of becoming a Christian because I've never felt like Jesus wasn't my friend and savior. However, as life went on as a young adult, as inevitably faced with many choices and without the security of home and my older sisters, the time had come for my faith to be tested and refined. But while things were straightforward, I did all the right things. I felt God bless me until I felt he didn't. As confused, I thought if I made the right choices, did the right things, things would go my way. At that time, my relationship with God, now understand, was very transactional. So I rebelled. I did some of the things I knew I shouldn't. I still read my Bible occasionally, prayed, and very occasionally attended church. I started feeling the gentle conviction of the Holy Spirit concerning some of the choices I was making, but I ran further away from God in my heart, and for a while I stopped feeling the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Then things in my life started falling apart. I sought the counsel of my trusted old sisters, though I still felt I could still fix things on my own if I worked harder, if I was smarter, if I did the right things. Because as an A student, so I felt that if you read, if you just do the right things, surely you'll get the answer. But I soon found out that life's not always 1 + 1 = 2. God allowed me to get to the point of accepting that I could not fix my life. For a period of 2 years, God pursued me, daring me to trust him. He spoke so clearly to me through his word and different people regarding the life choices I was making at the time. I still ran away from him. It's at this time that I joined Carey. I'm really grateful that God does not give up on us, because eventually when I'd reached the end of myself, I surrendered and recommitted my life to God. Sorry, my notes a bit, which paragraph I'm on. So when I joined Carey, I met some really lovely people. I felt really welcomed and enjoyed the fellowship. I joined the book club, met Tamsin, Helen Tripp, and, you know, everyone, all the book club ladies, and enjoyed the coffee and tea and the fellowship. I also really enjoyed the hymns that were sung here, because they really spoke to the depth of my being. So since then, I've committed my life to Christ, and now understand that it's by grace, not by works, that we've been saved. And though hard times come, it does not mean that God has abandoned us. And that when God asks us not to be conformed to this world, he means it. And all the instructions he's given us in his word, he does mean it. And we're not exceptions, because I think sometimes we can feel we're exceptions to what he's asking us to do. So I then continued reading the Bible. I wasn't baptized when I committed my life to God, because it was in Pentecostal churches, but Jesus was baptized and I felt like the Holy Spirit was leading me to get baptized. I spoke to Pauline and That was almost, well, it was over a year ago, and I'm glad that I'm finally getting baptized now. That's it. Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Whoa. Thank you, Shirley. That's wonderful to hear that story of God's grace in your life and how God has led you to this point. I do have a couple of quick questions I've got to ask you, and also the congregation will be involved at this point to as we think about baptism and church membership. But you've already confessed your faith in Jesus as Lord. And I need to ask you, do you promise to walk with Jesus all the days of your life?
Yes, I do. I think that's what I meant.
Oh, with God's help. With God's help.
Yeah, with God's help.
Yes, yeah. That's right, yes. Okay, right. And do you promise to share your life and your journey of faith among God's people here? And will you use your gifts to serve God and to spread the good news of Jesus as a member of this church?
With God's help, I will.
Yeah, wonderful. Okay, thanks, Shirley. And now I'm going to invite the congregation, if you'd like to stand. I'm going to ask you all a question in response to the promises which Shirley has made this day. And if appropriate, you may wish to respond to this question with the words, with God's help, we will. So as sisters and brothers of Shirley, and as part of Christ's body, God's family on earth, do you promise to walk in faith with Shirley, loving and supporting her in the name of Jesus? With God's help, we will. Amen. Amen. Thanks very much. Actually, don't sit down, because if you want to come and see the baptism close up, you can come forward. So now's the point. Actually, I just have to say, I have warned Bargia and Shirley this morning that actually the water is quite cold. The heater didn't work to begin with. So anyway, here we go.
Shirley, said believer, I call you to come and be baptized as a sign of your forgiveness of sins and of new life in Jesus Christ. You will notice a change in temperature at this point. Now, Shirley, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead. He is Lord. And if he shall love, every tongue's confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Morning, all. Let me add my welcome also to you. It's such a pleasure always to see you. So we're going to start in this brief time until Colleen and Shirley and Bargia returns. We're going to sing a few hymns and enjoy the time with the Lord, because it's such an amazing occasion. You just witnessed something awesome. So let's, you're okay to play that song? The song is full of questions though, but I'm sure you like it and you know the answers. So yeah, let's sing this. You can sing along.
Jesus, for the cleansing power, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily by the Savior's side? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Do you rest each moment in the crucified? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the know, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? When the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? Soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
You all know Jesus said in his own words, John 3:16, to Nicodemus, the teacher of Israel. But Jesus said, for God so loved the world. You all know that. And he gave his only begotten son. So, and he said, and whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's all what we want. We are here. Whatever happens in our life, they are very, very temporary. Our hope is in the Lord. And you know, this little thing, words like all, whoever, but they are very, very important in the scriptures. Jesus is not forcing himself on you. But whoever believes shall have eternal life. This offer is not from the church. Not from anyone, it's from the Lord. Lord is saying, whoever believes in me will have eternal life. That's all where we want heading into, isn't it? That's where we all want to be. That's where we will see even the people who we have lost in Christ. Jesus is going to bring them back, and we want to be there. So this is what we go through. Jesus did not promise, he did not paint a rosy picture. He said, you will still have trouble in this life. You will still have persecution, but be encouraged. I have overcome the world. And that's where we're heading to. So this offer, talk to anyone in the church, any of the leaders, it's open for you. Don't miss that. I will beg you. Because when you see the Lord, you'll always be glad, oh, I was baptized. It's nothing magic in the water, though. It's not going to like clean you like a miracle. But it's simply obeying God's word. Because Jesus continued in that verse. Jesus said, God did not send his son to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He wants everyone to be saved. And he wants to see all of us with him in his presence. With our loved ones though. That's where our hope is. What we go through now is nothing at all. Compare with the riches God has prepared for you. Because the scripture says we can even imagine the riches what he has prepared for us. We're going to sing to him, sir. Shall we sing back to back? Yeah. Because at that time, probably might return. So we're going to sing, I think about your sacrifice. So it's an awesome sacrifice God has done for you and me. It's an awesome sacrifice. And we're going to sing that. And immediately in Christ alone. Are you okay to, or do you need a gap in there? Yeah, it's okay. All right, let's sing together. Thank you.
Thank you.
prophets in prayer. Our loving, righteous, precious Father, with so much of love and gratitude, we come to your feet, Lord. Thank you so much for the precious gift you have given us, the most precious gift that we could ever receive, Lord, your only begotten Son, Lord Jesus Christ, died on the cross in our place, Lord. Thank you for the precious blood you shed for us, Lord Jesus, the suffering you went through. Each drop of your precious blood is invaluable, Lord. Thank you so much for giving us this amazing opportunity, the offer to accept you as our Savior. And live in the hope sealed in your name, Lord Jesus, that we will see you one day. And every knee shall bow. This will include even the ones who did not accept you, Lord. So we don't want to bow our knees in condemnation, but we want to bow our knees in salvation, Lord. Every knee shall bow at your feet. And we bow our knees gladly, accepting your eternal life with you, Lord. Even the ones we lost, Lord, you will bring them along. Thank you so much for this offer, Lord, what you've given us to everyone. In your word, you said, whosoever believes in you will have eternal life. And we want to be in that group, Lord. Your children, your precious children in your sight. We come together as a church, and we repent for our sins. We repent with repentance, Lord. We repent individually, we repent as a family, we repent as a church, we repent as a nation, Lord. We are so sorry for our sins. And we ask for forgiveness. We come to you gladly, humbly, in reverence and in fear, Lord. With so much gladness in our hearts. Thank you so much, Lord. We love you, Lord. We ask this from you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our loving Savior. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just before I hand over to Colin, I'm going to read the Word of God. The second reading, 2 Corinthians from chapter 4, verses 7, and to chapter 5, verses 5. 4, 7 to 5, 5. So, 2 Corinthians, let me just quickly, should be in your Bibles. Another page, page 2 to 5, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, starting from verse 7. Yet we who have the spiritual treasure are like common clay pots. In order to show that the supreme power belongs to God, not to us, we are often troubled, but not crushed. Sometimes in doubt, but never in despair. There are many enemies, but we are never without a friend. And though badly hurt at times, we are not destroyed. At all times, we carry in our mortal bodies the death of Jesus, so that his life also may be seen in our bodies. Throughout our lives, we are always in danger of death for Jesus' sake, in order that his life may be seen in this mortal body of ours. This means that death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. The scripture says, I spoke because I believed. In the same spirit of faith, we also speak because we believe. We know that God who raised Lord Jesus to life will also raise us with Jesus and take us together with you into the presence. All this is for your sake, and as for God's grace reaches more and more people, they will offer to the glory of God more prayers of thanksgiving. For this reason, we never become discouraged, even though our physical being is gradually decaying, yet our spiritual being is renewed day after day. And this small and temporary trouble we will suffer will bring us tremendous eternal glory, much greater than the trouble. For we fix our attention not on things that are seen, but on things that are unseen.
What can be seen lasts only for a time, but what cannot be seen lasts forever. For we know that when this tent we live in our body here on earth is torn down, God will have a house in heaven for us to live in, a home he himself has made, which will last forever. And now we sigh, so great in our desire that our home, which comes from heaven, should be put on over us. By being clothed with it, shall not be without a body. While we live in this earthly tent, we groan with feeling of oppression. It is not that we want to get rid of our earthly body, but that we want to have the heavenly one put on over us, so that what is mortal will be transformed by life. God is the one who has prepared us for this change, and he gave us his Spirit as a guarantee of all that he has in store for us. Praise be to God. Amen.
Thank you, Sammy. That's wonderful. Thank you. I was just remembering that when I got baptized, it was January in Newcastle, just after a snowstorm. So actually, Shirley, you've got off lightly today. I'm beginning to warm up now, thankfully. But yes. Yes, okay. So my talk this morning is entitled Message in a Body or Swallowed Up by Life. Though that last phrase, swallowed up by life, doesn't quite come out in the good news. But anyway, well, yes, swallowed up by life. I must start with a confession. Terrible to have to admit this. I hesitate to unburden myself like this in such company. But they say that confession is good for the soul, so here goes. The truth is, I don't watch Songs of Praise. I know, you know, what can I say? Some may say, how can you call yourself a Christian minister, you know? Now, because of this, I hadn't realized that Katie Piper is now one of the presenters of Songs of Praise. You may or may not know that Katie Piper was the victim of an awful acid attack. She had acid thrown in her face by an ex-boyfriend. She lost the sight in one eye and had horrific burns, scarred for life. But because of her faith in Jesus, because of the wonders of modern surgery, she emerged into the light and she's able to live life courageously. The good news of Jesus is embodied in Katie Piper. She is, if you like, a message in a body. Katie has become the champion of all those scarred with burns, all those who look different. She has set a foundation to help others going through similar challenges to what she has been through. Katie is a living reminder of the truth declared in this passage written by the Apostle Paul nearly 2,000 years ago. We have this treasure in jars of clay. We are struck down, but not destroyed. Thanks be to God. Both death and life are at work in our bodies, yes. And those who trust in Jesus will share in his resurrection and new life. Hallelujah, yes. Despite the fact that each of us will face all kinds of difficulties and problems in this life, despite the fact that we are all pressured, perplexed, and persecuted, there's a three-point sermon if I ever saw one, despite the fact that time is catching up with all of us, despite all this, today and every day, we can rejoice in this simple truth, which we have seen demonstrated here today with Shirley's baptism. The good news of Jesus is that we have been swallowed up by life. The good news is we are being swallowed up by life in Christ. Now, I've not even begun to scratch the surface of the truth embedded in these two passages of Scripture. I'm not going to attempt it really today, but there's so much that could be said about these very juicy verses of the New Testament. So I encourage you, Shirley, and all of us here, to spend some time reflecting on the words in Acts 10 and 2 Corinthians 4 and 5. Think for a moment of a wine press where the grapes are squeezed and squeezed until all the goodness comes out. That's something of the process we aim for whenever we read the Word of God. It's also a picture for our communion celebrations later on, and a picture of our experience of following Jesus. We are hard-pressed, but never completely crushed. But Shirley, there are two other pictures I want to leave you with, two other pictures for us all to reflect upon this week. Jesus talked about a sign, the sign of Jonah, and that's clearly a picture of resurrection. Jonah spent 3 days in complete darkness, despairing of life, before he was miraculously released from the belly of the whale. He emerged once again into the light of life. And for this reason, I would like to recommend this book to you, Shirley, and to all of us here, The Man Who Planted Trees. It's by Jim Robbins. The man at the center of this book is David Milarch, who, like our Andrew here, had the experience of coming back from the dead. One commentator wrote of this book, a story of miracles and obsession and love and survival, the most hopeful book I've read in years. Thanks to Mermy for lending me this amazing book. That's The Man Who Planted Trees. If need be, sell your house to buy this book. Otherwise, you could borrow it from me if I have a word with Mermy, but yeah. And secondly, Jesus talked about the time of Noah. We all know the story of how Noah, his family and his wider family of the animals, together survived a terrible flood. This is a double-edged story of hope for today. Maybe we're in this time of Noah again, once again, but I believe that today we all need to hear a clear call to repent of how we're treating our planet and to change our behavior drastically. Both of these stories of Noah and Jonah are stories of believers coming through the waters of chaos and finding life. Shirley, this is your story also. God has shown you favor. This is our story too. The unconditional love of God towards all people and all peoples. We are all currently going through the waters of chaos, perhaps some more than others. We will all know trouble and hardship and struggle and difficulty. And you all know the famous wartime speech of Prime Minister Winston Churchill when he said, "I have nothing to offer you but blood, toil, tears, and sweat." For her baptism today, Shirley chose this scripture. "Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed in our heavenly dwelling." Meanwhile, we groan. That's a gutsy honesty. There's a gutsy honesty in choosing such a verse. There's also a glorious hope. Thanks to Jesus, we will be swallowed up by life. I'd like to encourage you, Shirley, for the path ahead. Here's my advice. Try to make sure you groan in God's direction. God hears our groans, which is all part of our praying. So I encourage you, Shirley, and all of us here, to walk with Jesus day by day in the light of God's love. That way, we'll all go on being swallowed up by life. Let me finish by reminding Shirley and all of us here about our earthly and our eternal hope in Jesus. These are the words of our opening song today. "Light in my darkness, peace for my soul, you are my rescue, you never let go. Here in my weakness, you are always the same, your love is the shelter, your light is my way. Constant Saviour, friend forever, Lord, you have my heart. Sure foundation, never failing, Lord, you have my heart. All the earth beneath you, all my life before you. With every breath, my soul will rest in you. All my hope is in you. All my strength is in you. With every breath, my soul will rest in you." Thanks be to God. Amen. Now the hymn that Shirley chose for today, "Be Thou My Vision," our next hymn, 521 in Baptist Praise and Worship. "Be Thou My Vision, Lord of My Life."
Be Thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Be all else but nothing except what Thou art. Be Thou my best thought. presence, my light. Be thou my wisdom, be thou my true word, be thou ever with me, and I with thee, Lord. Be thou my great Father, and I thy true Son. Be thou in me dwelling, and I with thee one. Be thou my breastplate, my sword for the fight. Be thou my whole armor, be thou my true might. Be thou my soul shelter, be thou my strong tower. O raise thou me heavenward, great power of my power. Be thou my true riches, not man's empty praise. Be thou mine inheritance, now and always. Be thou and thou only, the first in my heart. O sovereign of heaven, my treasure thou art. Son, oh, grant me its joys after victory is won. Great heart of my own heart, whatever befall, still be thou my vision, oh.
We'll gather around the Lord's table now, but please be seated.
God has made us a people. We have been shaped by God's will. God calls us together. We meet in Jesus' name. The Spirit binds us together and leads us into truth.
Look, here is the Lord's table spread as for a feast. Bread for breaking, wine poured out for drinking. Signs of his love and hospitality, symbols of his life broken, his blood poured out. He is not dead, he is risen and present among us, evidence of God's covenant grace and promise. So we come in faith to the table, you and I, companions on the journey, some of us fresh and eager, others weary in need of nourishment, all of us conscious of our failings. Come now, don't hesitate. The feast is ready, and the Lord himself invites you. Let's be quiet for a moment as we reflect upon the meaning of this bread and wine. Now, Hilary will lead us in a prayer of thanksgiving.
Now, Jesus, we obey your last and kindest word, and in your own appointed way, we come to meet our Lord. Our hearts we open wide to make the Saviour room. Behold, the Lamb, the crucified, the sinner's friend has come. Lord, in remembrance, we take now this bread and wine, as your own dying legacy and our redemption sign. Your presence makes the feast. Now let our spirits feel the glory not to be expressed, the joy unspeakable. Now let our souls be fed with manna from above, and over us your banner spread of everlasting love. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather around your table, here in the church or online, and to share in these symbols of your broken body and poured out blood. Bless us in the coming days as we continue to feed on you. Strengthen us by your love as we walk in your way day by day. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Hilary. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, gave thanks and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." This is the bread of life. Please eat with thanksgiving as you receive it. In the same way, after supper, Jesus took the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Can I encourage you to retain the cup and we'll drink together as a sign of our oneness in Christ. Thanks be to God for his covenant of love in and through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray together. Faithful God, we all need your forgiveness, renewing our lives, freeing us to be a people of faith, hope and love, made whole by your grace. We pray today for those struggling to forgive others, people who have had great wrongs done to them or to those they love. Loving God, help us to forgive from our hearts. We pray for those who cannot forgive themselves, people who cannot live with the knowledge of what they have done or said. Loving God, help us to forgive from our hearts. We pray for those in desperate need of forgiveness, people torn apart by guilt or regret, their lives in need of rebuilding. Loving God, help us to forgive from our hearts. And we pray also for ourselves, learning to offer forgiveness by absorbing hurts and not returning them, learning to offer forgiveness wholeheartedly, like Christ upon the cross. Loving God, help us to forgive from our hearts. And we pray for ourselves, learning to accept forgiveness, learning to accept the forgiveness offered by others as we live in humble love with one another. Loving God, help us to forgive that we may know the breadth and length and height and depth of your forgiving love offered to us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Now we close this special service by singing together the Lord's Prayer. There's a version of the Lord's Prayer. This is 589, Father God in Heaven.
Father God in heaven, most high, hear your children's prayer, Lord most high. Hallowed be your name, Lord most high, O Lord, hear our prayer. May your kingdom come here on earth. So on earth, O Lord, hear our prayer. Give us daily bread, day by day, and forgive our sins, day by day, as we too forgive, day by day. In your way, make us strong. When temptations come, make us strong. Save us from all sin, keep us strong. O Lord, hear our prayer. All things come from you.
Holy God, we have been nourished and had our thirst quenched through bread broken and wine poured in thanksgiving for your Son, Jesus Christ. Journey with us this week, we pray. Send us out to be as generous to those we meet this week, so that we might show through word and deed that Christ is not dead, but risen and present among us. May God bless you and make you a blessing to others. Amen.
Amen.